Blog Talk Radio.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. The evening sun is sinking low. The clock on the wall says it's time to go. I got my plans, and I got plans for you. I'll tell you all exactly what we're all gonna do. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Why is it 12 o'clock and it might be 3? Time doesn't mean that much to me. Ain't felt as good since I don't know when. Don't know when I'm gonna feel this way again.
So come on, get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Might be 6 o'clock, it might be 8. It don't matter that it's getting late. We're gonna make the band play one more song. Get in the groove if it takes all night long.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Well, I think the man's at all night, if it takes all night long. Hey, Laurent, welcome aboard.
Hey, thank you. How's your endurance?
Hey, so far so good. All night long. I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in.
Now, how am I doing? I'm doing damn good. Happy almost Thanksgiving Day.
Yes, yes, it's coming up. It's coming up. We just have to make a list of that which we are thankful for.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing the Thursday show with Richard. It's a Thanksgiving show.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sure it'll be a wonderful show. You know, Thanksgiving's a great show. You know, people get to really, like, put it out there, what they really are thankful for. It gives them the opportunity to seriously express that. So hopefully people will take that. The opportunity. All these love. Yeah, so happy Friday, TGIF. Yes.
That's right. Make sure your other half knows that, your twin.
My twin, absolutely. Hi, Pam. Speaking of twins, Pam and I should have been twins. Right, Pam?
Hey, Phil. Hey, Thorn. Good to hear you both.
Hey, Pam.
She didn't hear me.
What's that?
I said you and I should have been twins. What's that?
Oh, right. Exactly.
Yeah. We should have. We come in close a lot of days.
Yep, that is true.
Then we go our separate way. But when we do, like, kind of see those similarities, we laugh. Thank goodness.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, well, it's Friday. And we have another full board of poetry. And I love that. I really do. And I'm hoping to see a couple more voices pop onto the screen. Because we got lots to share. We really do. Yep. So anyway, let me see. What a week. You know, I don't know, they get shorter and shorter and shorter these weeks. Makes me a little nervous. I'm like, damn. I wake up, it's Monday, I blink, it's Friday. I'm like, okay, whatever. Yeah.
Oh, we're back
actually,
to
wake up.
Blinking at 5 again, huh?
Who? What'd I do?
Nothing. It's all right.
I didn't hear you. Yeah, whatever. I guess I'm not going to find out either. Anyway, yeah, so I don't know what's happening. And it doesn't look like Laurent. I think he fell short again and did not put a classic poem on the board. So.
How do you know that I didn't? Did you go
and look? I'm looking at the board, and there is not one here, unless you want to consider your contribution of the night a classic poem. No. Not yet. No, we don't want one now. It's too late. Ouch. I'm just messing with you because I can. I don't know, you know. If I wanted it that bad, I would have asked
you. I mean,
if you
want a classic poem, let me give you a classic poem. I don't know what the deal is.
I do not want a classic poem. Anyway, how's life, Pam?
Well, all in all, I have to say it is pretty good. I have a bit of a sinus problem that's clogging everything up. But, you know, other than that, I can't complain too much because, you know, all in all, life is good, and, as always, I always say, looking forward to hanging out with you and Lauren, hopefully some other cool poets, and, just delving in and reading and commenting.
Right. I know some of our hostesses, and I guess we have a host or two involved, are having a rough time with the weather up in British Columbia, and I guess Washington, isn't it? Washington?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
To that. I hope everybody is making out all right, and you know, at least getting past.
I know.
Exactly. You
know, yeah, there's some flooding going on, and not just light flooding. Some pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing. I started thinking about it yesterday. I said, wait a minute, let me message Gray Eyes and see what's going on because I know he's up around that way. And he just said he was doing all right, so I just didn't pursue it. So as long as he's doing all right, I'm happy.
Absolutely.
Some people tell you he's doing all right. Anyway, I'm just glad that he's all right, and I hope everyone gets through this unscathed, you know. Relocating is a pain in the butt, but, you know, you can't replace yourself or others. So, rather to replace
exactly.
things.
Exactly.
You know, I mean,
exactly.
And,
so true.
Yeah. So, with that being said, I'm thankful that everyone is okay so far. And, you know, We're running into this week of thankfulness. I'm not too sure. Maybe I should do turkey things for Wednesday. God, I still have to come up with a contest for Wednesday. Yes, maybe I'll have, I don't know.
Sexy turkeys.
That's right, sexy turkeys. I like it. Shake your tail feathers. That's what I call it. Shake your tail feathers. Oh, God. I better not do that.
Look, many a turkey leg has seduced me.
Yeah.
When it comes to turkeys, I'm definitely more into the legs and the thighs.
I'm not going to jump on that. I'm going to leave it alone.
I'm kind of a breast girl when it comes to turkeys. You know, I have to be honest. Yeah, I think we should call the contest Shake Your Tail Feathers and see what we get out of that. That
sexy
really
turkey,
good.
I like it.
Yeah, sexy turkey.
Oh, my God. You have
a turkey and a who?
In 4-inch heels.
Oh, my God, a tall turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And you got the turkey with a top hat. You can do all kinds of turkeys.
There you go. I have to look up turkey pictures. I might be able to come up with. No, I don't think I can do a night of turkeys on The Art of Seduction. I don't think that would go over well.
And don't forget Turkey Lurkey.
God, Turkey Lurkey. And good old Tom. Okay, I'm going to get off this subject because I could go someplace way out there and I don't want to do that right now. Maybe off.
Show us the other side.
No. I've already done that. Thanks. Okay. Let me check the phone. So I don't have anybody else here, and I'm going to start at the top of the list. Okay. I can start at the top of the list. Okay. Well, that brings you up as being first on it. So let me put this back here. And there we go. Thank you very much.
Joseph Moon offers his poem, The Recluse. From bed to kitchen to chair, the aging recluse without a care, a book and booze, a silent stare. Phone off the hook for 20 years, outlived his family and his peers, a nameless valet brings food and beers, waters a lone plant every day, yellow teeth in decay, by candlelight the dust lights play, a library with the finest literature, 17th century Chippendale furniture, no combs, no mirrors, no future. The loyal valet signs his signature. End poem.
Wow. Nice read, Laurent. Nice work.
What a great poem. That one. That was excellent.
Yes. Laurent, you do comments on Friday. Just say it.
Oh, geez, I'm sorry. No, you lose track sometimes. All right. Let me make up for that lapse by saying that it's a wonderful poem in terms of its mood and its tone. I probably should have read it a little more slowly. I wasn't sure we were going for this. But the moment you realize that he's the last of his generation, more or less, and that everything around him, like his teeth, begins to decay, and he has a valet who has to more or less represent him. And that story, to me, is very sad. It's a horrible way to go, just in terms of your value as a human being. Very well rendered. Thank you, Joseph. Pam, what did you think?
Absolutely. I think this is wonderful. It's got beautiful rhyme and flow, as always, with Joseph Moon's writing. And I like how that he tells a story within a brevity, that he really, within each line, lets us know a little bit about this character. A book and booze, a silent stare, thrown off the hook for 20 years, outlived his family and his peers. There's a real sense of loneliness in here, and a real sense where it says, as you mentioned, the yellow teeth and decay by candlelight, the dust my plate. There's just that real sense of, how much this person doesn't care about themselves or their surrounding, and that life just weighs heavy on them. So excellent writes and very well done.
Yeah, I like his short pieces. I like his long pieces, although this pretty much represents the number of words he throws into a lot of poems, but very nicely done. Jean, how about you?
You know, I enjoyed this piece, and I thought that it really reminded me of a snippet of an old murder mystery movie. And I dropped the word murder in the comment I made because it was setting up this character and the surroundings, and that's all I could envision was, an opening scene, and getting to know that character. So I thought that was pretty intriguing, and I think he did a wonderful job of it. So thank you, Joseph. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ms. Pam, can I get you to read the next one for us?
Absolutely. All right. And this is Enough is Enough by Kel Smiles, and it goes like this. My tenacity can be boundless. I'm not one to easily give up, and quitting isn't a good option. I'd much rather stay grounded. I'll keep up, never stop trying, no matter the cost to myself, thinking the pain is worth it, even in the endless grinding. Eventually, for all the trouble, something good happens when I persistently believe I can. Some days it is a real struggle. If I admit I cannot do more, what does that say about me? Oh, but she's just a quitter. No way you want her around. I have often wondered whether excuses are the same as reasons. What if I'm not physically able? What if I don't have the knowledge? Are those good enough reasons, or maybe merely more excuses? It's a conundrum I fear to know. Possibly nothing is as it seems. I persist not knowing when enough is enough. I can't do it anymore. My nerves are on edge in attempt to determine if it's all too much. End poem.
Nice job, Pam.
I love this poem. This is one of Kel's best. I mean, her character walks that knife's edge between persistence and too much persistence, and it can be ruinous. She presents it so well. I've often wondered whether excuses are the same as reasons. What if I'm not physically able? What if I don't have the knowledge? Are those good enough reasons, or maybe merely more excuses? And that's the nutshell of it right there. I love the way she presented this. Just enough. And tenacity can be boundless. Great way to start the piece. Pam, what'd you think?
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful piece on the chosen prompt, and I like how she takes us through the emotional struggle where you feel about yourself and how you want other people to perceive you, and you want to be seen as someone who's not a quitter, but at the same time there kind of comes that nerve-wracking experience of, when is enough enough? When do I have to stop putting so much pressure on myself? When do I have to stop caring, about what other people think? Because, here and now I've come to the point of realizing that this is enough. This isn't something I should keep pursuing. So really just a wonderful write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have to say this piece is really, I thought it was another great take on the prompt as well, Pam. You know, because, you know, one of the first principles of perseverance is to know when to stop persevering. I think there's a fine line between perseverance and obsession. You know, you're just determined, you know, you set your mind on it and you are going to do it. And, yeah, and I think this was just a well-written piece. And great job, Cal. I'm glad you got to read that one because it was from your contest. Yes, yes. Okay. Don't all get excited at once now. Just saying. Okay, here we go.
No lollygagging.
Oh, lollygag best. Ah.
Damn, Pam.
Okay.
She's almost 50
today. Hey, Laurent, I put one up for you, wise guy.
I thought it was your turn.
I'm okay. Taking the next piece.
All right. You got it.
Six is in between.
Uh-huh. Mahesh Shroff. In the middle. Between embrace and abandon. Between misery and mild wines, in stories and scripts, in scuffles and in triumphs, between patience and tantrums, distress and sang-froid, with brothers and with foes, at birth and one's decline, I live and perish in my thoughts, neither defunct nor abiding, between isolation and eminence, I'll live forever, or die trying. End poem.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Excellent little brevity. And a nice front page pick a year ago. Pam, what'd you think?
Yeah, congratulations to him on a well-deserved front page pick. I thought this was an intriguing brevity. I thought the fact that it said multiple times between such and such, like between embrace and abandoning, between patience and tantrum, distress and sang-froid, which sang-froid is a really cool word, I think. But to me, it really talks about trying to find that balance in life and living it to the fullest and living it to such a point that we will be remembered. And I like how he ends between isolation. Between isolation and eminence, I'll live forever or die trying. I think that's really just a kind of almost got a very spiritual tone to it, and the idea of wanting to be remembered, and as I mentioned, wanting to find that balance in life that makes everything feel right. So just a really thought-provoking write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I live and perish in my thoughts, neither defunct nor abiding. To me, it's talking about trying to maintain an even strength, that middle place that does not draw us down, but allows elevation of sorts. When the moment is right. Gene, what did you think? Oh, and excellent piece. Sorry.
I like this piece as well. And I have to agree with everything that Pam and you had said, you know, in the middle, you know. It's a safe place to be sometimes. Otherwise, you know, then again, people say, oh, you're just riding the fence. You know, people are. But I think that, you know, The middle, it's a sense of balance because, you know, you don't necessarily want to be, there's so many of these distinguishing lines here. You know, I mean, you don't have to be the best or the worst. You know, you just have to be sufficient and be self-sufficient and be what's needed, what's necessary. You know, and some people say, well, you know. But I believe that there's a lot of truth in it.
You remember what the sage said?
Hmm?
Do you remember what the sage said about that condition? He said it was boringly adequate.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, well. Then I'm boringly adequate.
I know. I'm just throwing something out there.
Just saying. We excel where we need to and where we want to.
That's right.
But to have to excel in everything is...
No.
Not him and stay at the bottom of the line is foolish. So to be happy to be sufficient is a wonderful thing sometimes. You know, it doesn't mean that you can't do good or better in something.
Right.
But
like
the middle. Yep. Okay. Now, here is the next by poet. Let's see. I hope this lines up. Here we go.
Part, oh, for the myriad of the thoughts of my brain manifest within the fleeting passages of the flowing ripples of endless time, forming into the crystal cubes of my drear and forsaken isolation, a prisoner of the metallic twirling circle of solid and oval despair. I plunge deeper into the abyss of a piercing madness engraved, the haunting hands of the mechanical clock tick, tock, tick, tock. Such a sonorous sound clanging in my little head then, and I hear the noise drowning me in the mosaic pit of eternal echoes. I am trapped inside the sloping, crenellated outer walls of my pain, complete with the copper eyelids of the broad barriers to my escape. I can see the surreal images of the dead floating into a timeless space as I observe the visible faces of the souls of the daunting past. Soon my silent screams burst through the frame of the clock, shattering the old glass and the curved edges of the dented prison like a full force of a sonic bang of such an exploding deafness, tumbling the cracked walls of my subconscious realm. Bubbles of my liquid breath become vapors of marbles, shouting to the outside world the clamor of my liberation. I am free at last, free at last. But the world outside is nothing more than the hollow and hoary demons worse than mine. When shall I be rid of my demons? Why am I trapped in the illusions of time? What if time was nothing more than a mere illusion itself? Could it be thus that I am dreaming? Am I part of a revolving matrix? Whatever my fate be to my existence, I shall either be a memory or a life form. Yes, yes, I am life, I am life.
Wow. Great job, Frank. By the way, before we go any further, that was called Illusions of Time by Poetic Picasso. He didn't say anything at the beginning of the audio, and I went, oof, I would have said so. Anyway, great job. Sorry, Laurent, didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's fine. No issues here. Kind of took my breath away. This was excellence in ink in the particular genre that he wrote it in. To literally have a character burst into being, derived from the pain and madness you have inside of you, and its human second form and begin that discourse with that demon inside of you. It was wonderfully recited. His voice does creep me out, as they say. It sounds like poetic Picasso, but it doesn't sound. It sounds like an avatar of our Mr. Picasso. This is as fine a work as he's written, as far as I'm concerned. This has a tone of horror and a specificity of terror, and offers much more than the illusion of fear. To me, it offers fear, a weighty fear, something that preys on the reader and on the character in the poem. I thought it was just absolutely formidable, fantastic work. And I sure wish I had a typewriter that could just type this right in for me in the comment box, because I'll never remember it. But, Pam, your comment, please.
Yeah, first of all, wonderful recording there. I have to agree, this is just, it's creepy and haunting, horrific. I like how it's kind of like a descent into madness. And it's really the little details that make all the difference in the whole personality of this tale, like that he puts in the tick-tock of the mechanical clock. And because it's amazing how put in the right situation, the ticking of a clock sounds very horrific. I really like that floating into a timeless space whilst I observe the visible faces of the souls of the daunting past. There's something that's both psychological and visceral in the horror of this. And I like the questions, when shall I be rid of my demons? Why am I trapped in the illusions of time? And I like that phrase, and that he decides to use as the title, Illusions of Time. Kind of like the idea that the present and the past and the future all mingle together until you cannot tell one from the other. So just an absolutely wonderful story, right, and very well done.
Couldn't agree with you more. The recording was masterful. I would say it was professional. In every way. The music might have come up just a wee bit more, but that's nothing. That was outstanding. Gene, how about you?
The audios are always wonderful when Frank does them. I found it interesting that this was written to a steampunk or for a steampunk context. Definitely had more of a creepy vibe than that. Really well done. And yeah, it does make you like kind of cringe a little bit, you know, when he's going on. I mean, some of his lines are wonderful. You know, soon my silent screams burst through the frame of the clock, shattering the old glass and the curved edges of the dented prison, like a full force of sonic bang of such an exploding deafness, tumbling the cracked walls of my subconscious realm. Really, really, really well done. Nicely written. So,
yeah, you didn't give it much of an introduction. I jumped 6 inches out of my chair.
Well, a lot of times when we get audios, the poets at least, you know, say something about the title or, you know, whatever.
No, you were just as pleasantly surprised, trust me.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you are. Okay. I'm going to put this piece up. And this one is by Bab. This is called Mobile by Bab. In the rusted half-circling of once mobile homes, I see the neighbor scrubbing a laminate countertop in the window framed by 3 a.m. ink. She never sleeps. I know because nor do I. Squatting with a cigarette on the dry rot porch, deep folds of her lips and neck trace into the corners of my eyes, lines tying us together in the hush. Cornflower blue creeps up over mountains, birds mocking us, early chirps pecking at the worms, and home.
Okay. Great read, my friend. Great read, Gene. And Pam, can we start with you, please?
Yeah, I think this is absolutely an amazing brevity on not being able to sleep, on insomnia. That's the word I was looking for. And I like how it's about observing the neighbor, about two women who probably don't get a lot of chance to talk, but see each other at this time, this 3 a.m., and, they have that sort of connection, even if there isn't any other connection. And what I like is how it makes this turn. Like, first it's all about the unnatural things, the laminate countertops, the dry rot porch, the deep folds of lips and neck, things that are almost to the point of being just raw and gritty and ugly. And then nature comes in. But as beautiful as it is described, cornflower blue creeps up over mountains, there's that still, that kind of darkness, birds mocking us. Like, you know, the whole idea that sleep never came and now it's too late. Just a really clever write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. I thought it was a wonderful writer. It was a masterfully created atmospheric piece, from the line squatting with a cig on a dry rot porch to the from the rusted half circling of once mobile homes down to the dry rot porch, the description which gives you really a perfect picture, the deep folds of her lips and neck, and then the very striking line, cornflower blue creeps up over mountains. She did something with this really, really nice. I hope she wins the $50 prize for the E.E. Cummings contest. That would be nice. And another great front page pick. All right, back to you, Gene.
Right. I think that Babbler did a great job with this one, and I can kind of feel the E.E. Cummings in it, so I think it was just a job well done. Nice work, Babbler, and yeah, congratulations on the front page pick, and good luck in the contest. I have to agree with you, Laura. Nice entry. Okay, so let me figure out where I'm going to go from here. Go over here. Okay, Pam, I got one for you.
Okie dokie.
Okay. And here we go. Well, maybe. What's going on here? Yes. There we go. Whenever you are ready.
All right, this is I Wonder by Pam 8, and it goes like this. I realize that I must have looked like an extraterrestrial being with my dog's bone collar light flashing in the middle of my chest, just below my rib cage, like a beating heart, so very early on that milky, thick, foggy morning. I smiled, and he did a double take. I wonder what it is he saw approaching him in the fog, blinking, throbbing, beating, drumming, like the heart of the infinite line, ancestral power lineages, from here, there, well, simply from everywhere. I wonder what he thought, seeing a billion ancestors approaching him from the fog. I wonder. End poem.
Nice job.
Quick read, Ben. I'm trying to digest this. I realize I must have looked like an extraterrestrial being with my dog's bone collar light. I'm a little uncertain as to exactly what that is. Can you help me out, Pam?
Well, what I think is that she was probably going for an early morning or early, like, evening walk when it was getting kind of dark, and she had that flashing light, and she probably walked by a stranger.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That threw me completely. You know, when you get stuck on something.
Well, the unique way that the poem's written, I think that can easily throw somebody off.
Yeah, I mean, I should have thought about it a little more seriously. I'm going to see this. The vision of the approaching animal and the spirit buffalo, if you will. I don't know if it's a real one or a spirit buffalo. But I'm wondering if the buffalo doesn't represent a member of his tribe or his tribe, or is it an actual buffalo? Because it talks about ancestral power lineages, and that's a superb contrast or connection, between the two. And the lion seeing a billion ancestors approaching him from the fog is mystically entrancing, I think. It's a terrific piece. A little awkward with my comment, but I like it. Jean, please.
Well, I'm sitting here. I started to see, the parallel between her seeing him and him seeing her. And I find it is intriguing. But it's a very well-written piece, and I like the ancestral quality of it, because I know that it's in there. And you can sense it, and you can kind of feel it. One is more modern and one is not, and it's two worlds. Two worlds collide kind of thing almost. Not in a big way. But I think it was really well done. So thank you, Pam. Always great work. Okay. Now, Laurent, that brings me to you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Let me put this one up. There we go.
Back to the dating site. This is Back to the Dating Site by the writer C. Let me take you down this scary path. I know my critics will judge me and laugh. There's something about being lonely, searching for your other half. I was in my feelings, sleepless one night. A few hours later, I found myself back on the dating site. Username, goodluck33, status, single and free. I didn't care about the color of skin, looking for love or a special friend. I thought I found my match in Michelle. She just loved jet ski and sail. So I checked her BCC. She had a misdemeanor and a felony 3. Oof, my hopes were up too high, because half of the profiles I created with a scam and a lie. I wish I had stopped when I had the chance, but I was a sucker for a fairy tale romance. I had to see if this is real. For past phone conversations, tonight I'll finally meet Jill. Feeling good, looking my best. I bought 5620 in my GPS. My feelings slowly turned into a movie scene with mystery and suspense, sitting at the location, staring at an empty lot and a fence. I went home and pressed delete, because the dating site had me at the agony of defeat. End poem.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah. Good about that. Pam, please. Do you have experience in dating by computer?
Oh my goodness, yeah, this was clever and fun. It had parts where it was definitely making me chuckle. It's a great combination of a kind of a sad reality of trying to navigate a dating site or the dating world in general, and also with some really great humor thrown in. I liked my hopes were up high because half of the profiles are created with a scam or a lie. I wish I stopped when I had the chance, but I was a sucker for a fairy tale romance. I think that's very, relatable to anyone who's ever, tried to date online or find a relationship online or just find a relationship in general. I like how he ends with the second lesson. My feelings slowly turned into a movie scene with mystery and suspense sitting at the location. That whole idea of waiting to see what's going to happen, if those dreams are going to come true. So it's just a really clever write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I can see where this might be relatable to a lot of people in today's world. I mean, I'm a little too old for that scene, but it seems awful chancy. The old way of getting to know a girl is better when you could approach them and strike up a conversation without being called a masher or worse. And I think there is levity in this particular poem. There's also a lot of melancholy. People are lonely. They're never truly happy. And going home to an empty house has got to be one of the worst things in the world when there's never anybody in the bed next to you. That sucks. And I think this does a really good job in portraying that. Nice job, Curtis, excuse me. Gene, to you.
Well, I don't know. Nobody steals your covers when ain't nobody there. So, hey, you know, there's a plus side, too. Don't get silly about that.
Well,
What's that? Never mind. I'm trying to pursue what you're saying, and I get in dead air. I thought this was a clever piece. And, you know, I think it is very relatable to a lot of people. I think that not all of these things are happening to everybody, but I think that bits and pieces of different people can relate to it. And, you know, it is sad. It is sad when you find out that things just aren't what, you know, they're supposed to be. And when you get to, you know, this last stanza, you know, well, the last two stanzas, you know, turns out that the address she gave him is nothing but an empty parking lot. You know, I mean, that's kind of BS, you know.
Sure Frank never had that problem. Quick phone call and the girls wouldn't be able to stay away.
Yeah. No, I think it was a great job, Curtis, and thanks for sharing with us all. Absolutely. And Dan, that brings me to you, dear.
All right. All right, this is Whispers Ophelia by Casey Day, and it goes like this. We all run down to the river, ghosts, to hide our souls beneath the boots. There's a gray behind your eyes. You've never lied down by the riverside. Mothers kneel down at the bay, secretly for their children pray. Then all could just float away. Why do we all go down this way? Let the water move your heart. Rivers slowly take you apart. Let the streams run through your eyes, leaving it all at the riverside. You fall in all on your own. Takes you deep between your bones. You won't be returning home. This is the way we all go, down by the riverside. And home.
Nice read. Nice read. That first two lines, we all run down to the river, ghosts to hide our souls beneath the boats. And then that picture of Ophelia, I always thought that was the saddest story in the world. It's very moving, showing the mother's concern for their children. They could all just float away. Why did we all go down this way? It's very much a haunting piece because it gives the river a certain dark tone that kind of gives me the shivers. Now, you read that very well, Pam. What did you think? Pam, for comment, please.
Okay. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you say Pam or Jean?
You said Pam.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. It had a wonderful rhyme and flow. I particularly liked the end rhyme in the second stanza and the idea of the mothers kneeling down secretly for their children pray. This makes me think of the river that the dead cross in the Greek mythology. And I'm forgetting what it's called.
Six.
Yes, the River Styx, that's it. It makes me think of the River Styx, and it very much has a very melancholy feel and a feel about the end of life, about death, and how we all approach it. And I think that second stanza is about how, you know, the mothers, parents so try to, like the most painful death is that death of a child. You know, I also like, well, this is beautiful all the way through, but I was like, you fall in all on your own, takes you deep between your bones. I feel like those lines kind of speak of the idea of suicide, like Ophelia, those who purposely throw themselves into the river. And I like how she ends with a single line, down by the riverside, because down by the riverside almost seems like a line that you would hear in like a folk song. And so it just kind of almost gives a twist, a bit of a different tone than the rest of the poem and makes it stand out and grab your attention. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Jean, I think we may have somebody on the line, but it'll be your comment when you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that this was a nice piece written by Casey, and I think it was very haunting and very well done. I think it was nice work. Sad piece in a lot of respects. So great job. Thanks, Casey. And hello, Naomi.
Hello.
Yeah, I knew it was
Bonsoir.
Naomi.
Bonsoir. Comment ça va?
Ça va bien.
Super.
So, let's see now. What do I have next? Wow. Lots of stuff. Okay, Pam. All the girls are done now. You and me, we got to get a deep voice. Naomi, pull up your deep voice. We're going to get going here.
Hey.
Okay. Okay, Laurent. Here we go. Listening. Laurent, this one's for you, though. Oh, my God.
This is Poet's Lament for Remembrance Day by Aaron Panther. 72 hours until daybreak, and the winds of change knock upon my door. I cannot stand this silence, nor the ghost of time wielding his sword. A lesser man would not prevail, pride the ultimate sacrifice, inner strength the key to salvation of the soul. As the moonlight is reflected through the broken mirror on the floor, I see a man of courage who will struggle up despite the pain. No questions, no expectations for anything in return. Echoing across the valley, I hear the church bells sounding out, a soldier's final call. Heaven's sons shed a tear as we promise to remember the brave and fallen, lest we forget. End poem.
What an excellent piece.
Well, that really was. Get a reaction from Naomi, if you please.
Yeah, this was a very, very well written, and it shows the turmoil and that you know so many soldiers go through when they come back home, and I love how he finished it out, you know. echoing across the valley. I hear the church bells sounding out. A soldier's final call. Heaven's son shed a tear as he promised to remember the brave and fallen lest forget. And we have to remember, you know, never forget, because it was the sacrifice that they made.
So. Thank you, Naomi. Great comment. And how about you, Pam?
I thought this was a beautiful and emotive write. I cannot stand the silence or the ghost of time wielding his sword. There's such a sense of intensity and fear and, you know, looking back at the past and feeling, you know, kind of a sense of self-deprivation. And I like the imagery as the moonlight is reflected through the broken mirror on the floor. I see a man of courage who will struggle on despite the pain. And I like how there's kind of that turn there where all of a sudden the person realizes that despite all their broken pieces, there is someone there, someone brave, someone with courage, you know, and just a wonderful tribute to those who have served and the struggles that they go through. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Yeah, the poem had, I think, that certain something, a quality that Panther often demonstrates. Much of that was in the first stanza, the winds of change, and the winds of change knock upon my door. I cannot stand the silence nor the ghost of time wielding his sword. That was terrific. As was the balance of it, especially moving the soldier's final call, heaven's sons shed a tear. The image of a soldier sometimes doesn't convey what is going on inside. When there is every possibility of crumbling mentally under the stress and strain of war. And of the things that you observe in war, you see things that are so bizarre, so unhuman in aspect. I mean, if you've ever been to a slaughterhouse, see them cutting up entire cows, it's not that different when the shells land amongst a group of men and flying limbs and heads and torsos go in every direction. It can take the sanity right out of you. It can leave you broken. We call it PTSD. It's been called shell shock. It's been called other things as well in other wars. But it's all the same. It's when you lose your humanity, the surroundings around you. It really is a kind of hell. And I pity any soldier who's in it, living with that kind of feeling. All right, Jean, your comment?
I thought this was a touching work, and things to always be kept in mind, sacrifices of so many to allow us our freedoms. And I thought it was an awesome piece. So well done, Aaron Panther. Thanks for sharing with us as others. Absolutely. Great. Now I love to do everything. But you know, I do that, but I do it well. And this. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to read this one. And this is by Lamar Cole. Oh, I guess I can put it up if I can click it. Let me get this one. Probably get good help. Okay, this is by Lamar Cole, and the name of the piece is Everything Gonna Be All Right. I left home for the war when I was just 18. I went to Vietnam, a person so good and clean. I came back home all broken-spirited and mean. All through the war, I kept thinking, if I could just get back home, everything going to be all right. As I tramped through the fields, bodies of my buddies maimed and killed, I kept thinking, if I could just get back home, everything going to be all right. They shipped me home on a Monday. They gave me a Purple Heart. I lost one leg and my mind is bad. People look at me with faces so sad. But I'm home now, Lord, and everything is all right. But I'm home now, Lord, and everything is all right. End poem.
Gene, that was a great read. Pam, can we start with you, please?
Absolutely. I like the title that reminds me of the song by the same title, Everything Gonna Be All Right. I like that, you know, there's very matter-of-fact language in here telling us about, like, the little details really make a difference. Like, mentioned that the age of 18 just seems so young, but back then, you know, that's, even nowadays, 18-year-olds, you know, they get up, sent off to war. I just really powerful, gripping imagery in as I tramp through the fields, bodies of my buddies maimed and killed. And it's so sad because, you know, it's a poem and we're not there in the moment, but it's like, it almost makes you feel like you can see what's going on and it grabs at your heart. Really a wonderful ride all the way through. But I like how the repetitiveness of the last stanza where he keeps saying, but I'm home now, Lord, and everything is all right. It's almost as if there's this idea of trying to remind oneself and to comfort oneself that the horror is no longer a reality of their life. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam, for that great comment. All through the war, I kept thinking, if I could just get back home, everything's going to be all right. That really is the key when you're in the military. If you're doing a standard four-year stretch, the day after you enlist and start boot camp is the day you've been counting the days because you realize you've made a terrible mistake and you want to be home. You don't want to be in boot camp, okay? And then, you know, you're looking at 1,460 days over a four-year period. You begin counting them one by one. And when you get to about 50 days and you look and you see you now have 1,410 days left, that can ruin your mind. Trust me. Those, when you count the days, days become weeks, weeks become months. And all you wanted to is get back home. That's the message. Now you get shipped back home if you're broken or if you're whole. When it's neither is completely bad. It's nice to be whole. But as he says, I lost one leg and my mind is bad. People look at me with faces so sad, but I'm home now, Lord, and everything is all right. I'm home now, Lord, and everything is all right. And it's absolutely true. You can't wait to be home. To you, Gene.
Eugene.
I know. I thought about that. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know.
He's really busy. Yeah, I thought this was a nicely done piece. You know, my comment was, if only home could make everything all right for all of our soldiers, wouldn't that be great? You know, God bless and thank you for your service. Wonderful piece, Lamar. Thank you for sharing with us. Absolutely. Okay, Pam, get out your deep voice. Ready?
All right.
This one's by Ted Alexander.
All right, this is Gentle on the Mind by Ted Alexander, and it goes like this. She was an easy rider, but a full-fledged elite soldier and fighter, helped me unwind after situations that couldn't have been tighter. Through the dusk and muck of war, she made the day lighter, kept focused and spirit in that gunfight that ended up being an all-nighter. Now looking back at the tough times and the laughter, made us so proud to follow her and call her master. When she was shot in Kabul for me, it ended a chapter. And everything past that, well, it's just hard to get past her. End poem.
Mm.
Thank you, Pam. Let's start with Naomi.
Yeah, this is a great tribute to this woman, and we often forget that there are women in the military, and they have important roles just as the men do. And I think it's important to find poems like this that do mention, you know, because often it's soldiers, men soldiers, and here we have a woman here. And this is a great tribute to her, very well written. And I love the dust and muck of war. She made the day lighter. And, you know, and she was shot in Kabul. And, it's hard to get past her. So it has a sadness to it, too. And, great right here, great tribute.
Thank you for that great comment. I appreciate it. Pam, may I have your comment, please?
Yeah, I like what Naomi had to say about reminding us that, you know, women did serve in wars. And I like that this is a tribute to someone who provided leadership, but also a sense of, morale for the troops. And I think, you know, the ending especially hits hard. And the idea that she really gave her all, including her life. So beautiful, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I like the title, Gentle on the Mind. That line, through the dust and muck of war, she made the day lighter. When you're in a very tense, high-pressure situation, life and death like that, the face of a woman, and this is not a... I don't mean anything by this, but the sight of a woman in the middle of war can give you such a lift, especially when that woman is one of yours and represents everything you're fighting for that waits for you back home. This is a penetrating little right that went right to the heart of the matter. Thank you, Ted Alexander. And Jean, back to you.
Okay. Well, I think this was a great piece. Well-written tribute to a sister in arms. I thought it was very well expressed, and I wanted to thank him for his service and for sharing this piece with all of us. Well done. Thank you, Ken. Okay, and the next one I have a SoundCloud for. Let me put that up. And this is by Captain B2, and the name of the piece is Time Yet to Come.
Different kinds of beautiful love. I bought you another doll.
That was mine. I got
to
the voice. The sound is just like me. I was there. I was speaking out.
Wait a minute. Okay. It doesn't match the words I put up either. Made you look. Okay, here we go. Wow.
Time Yet to Come. Poem. We sit at the verge of transition, of metamorphosis. The future betides us like the infinite blue ocean. Everything on shore is before, ancient history and bygone. What has come heretofore is part of the receding tide. Nothing to be done with the aforetime, swept out to sea. We're in here and now, in the glow of the time yet to come. End poem.
An unusually short but powerful piece by our very own Captain B2. I like the line, we sit at the verge of transition, of metamorphosis. The future betides us like the infinite blue ocean. The ocean comes in handy again as a metaphor. You know, the place that we came from and the place of the infinitely receding horizon that goes far, far, far away from us, stretching out into time. She she uses the tide, the receiving tide, very well in that sense. It's a nice little piece. And Naomi, please.
Yeah, I love how she took the ocean and the sea, the tide, and put it in as a metaphor of the passing time, the swaying to and fro, the waves coming in, going out. This is a not one word wasted in here. It speaks really effectively. And, so well written. And it's so true, we're in here and now in the glow of the time yet to come. And that's that last sentence there. It's amazing. So very well done, this piece.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm fast asleep right here, sitting there. All right, Jean, please.
I think it was a great brevity.
Let's get Pam.
You did, but
That's all right. Can I get your comment, please, Pam?
Sure, absolutely. It's good to see Bobby writing brevity. I mean, she's always got wonderful poetry, but I think when you see somebody doing something a little different from themselves, it really shows the versatility of their talent. And I like how this talks about, I like the opening line, we sit at the verge of transition of metamorphosis, almost like the idea of something and two people going on to the next step. And I also like how she mentions that, the whole idea that, there is the history and there is the future, but what we really need to do now is to live in the here and the now. So just really a beautiful, thoughtful brevity and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And now, Jean Marie, your comment.
Well, I think this was a great brevity by Bobby, and I think it was an excellent take on that picture prompt. So it was nicely done, and it is surprising to see something short written by B2. It's not her norm, but she had maximum 6 lines in the contest, she entered, so that's a challenge, but she did a great job with it. So thanks, Bobby. Absolutely. I didn't forget about you, Naomi. But this next piece is by Budo, and I have a SoundCloud for it. And it's not going to sound like Naomi, I promise. Okay, here we go.
Gene, could you take over comments for this poem? I have to overcome a slight technical difficulty here.
Sure, sure. Pam, you want to start us off?
Absolutely. I really like this. First of all, you can tell when somebody seems to have had fun writing something and singing, and it seems to have been fun. I like how the sound of this is a little more harder and a little more electric than some of his other songs. I just like when people kind of do something a little different. There's a very surrealistic feel to the lyrics, you know, with lines like, to have fair winds set sail, let's skip the day of travails, we'll move out from the fray and move on from day of grace, move on from day of grace, and, you know, and then skip on neon clouds, which shout out, oh, wow. There was, to me, the music kind of reminded me of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, and the lyrics reminded me of partially of the Beatles when they went through their surrealistic phase, but you know, and sometimes some other bands too. But I'm having trouble specifically, like, you know how a thought is in your head, but it's so far back you just can't quite grasp it. I like how this is. It seems to be so much about getting out there and enjoying life and, moving away from that fray and finding that day of grace. And that day of grace just seems to be whatever you find to be a blessing. There's a certain sense of spirituality in this. And I thought it was just really a wonderful, clever write all the way through and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Great comment, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, this just makes you want to jump up and dance around and sing na 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 na. It's so inviting, and the way he plays the electric guitar there, wow. And there's some amazing lines in here. I mean, you know, he says he in his comment there at the end, he says a little bit of silliness, but a whole lot of fun. But I don't think it's all that silliness, because he has amazing lines in here, like when he says the neon lights, he puts on in neon lights, yes, then skip on neon clouds. And carefree to not touch lands, instead we'll make a stand high above the grays. So it's an invitation to just be free and be yourself, I think, and just, you know, skip into the rainbows and peace and love and happiness all over the world. So this is really neat. Bravo, Budo.
I agree with everybody. It was a really well done piece. It was fun, you know, and I think that's really what the intent was. It's very familiar to me, though. I kept trying to put my finger on it. It's very, very familiar to me. So I have to, like, think about it a little longer. But great job, Budo. It was a nice piece. Thanks for sharing.
Okay, Jane, thank you very much. I appreciate it. This this particular song has a quality that is infectious. The na-na-na just kind of rings in your head. I think I heard that comment made a little earlier, and it's hard to get rid of it after you've heard it. But who, when they're absolutely happy and in love with life, does not want to skip on neon clouds or to have fair winds set sail or move out from the fray? Just to leave everything behind and escape it. And that's the message I get from this song. Absolutely delightful. All right, Jane, back to you.
You betcha. Okay, the next one I have for you, Naomi. Doesn't sound
okay.
like you, Naomi. So, if you put in a deep voice. In a deep voice. Let me get you read this one.
Okay, by Dr. Frank. Dr. Frank. Okay, kindness, the rain. What a beautiful picture. Rainbow, umbrellas. Rain pelts his wrinkled face, twisted body. He was hunched over, cane extended, and extending from soaked cloth, soiled long coat, obviously old. He looked confused, hurting, and very uncomfortable. Thunder, lightning penetrating through the trees, snapping small branches, bringing down leaves. Sheets of rain cascading down on him like a flood. He staggers to find some protection from rain, scared. Stops under a large oak tree with its thick canopy. Just then, a young girl appears along with her umbrella. She beckons to him, asks to share her protection. He hesitates, saying, "You must be on schedule." "Not at all, girl age of his great-granddaughter insists. She removes her scarf to dry his drenched, ruddy face. He thanks her. Face dried except moisture of gratitude. Hauntingly, he says, "What a thoughtful act by one so young." And then she tells him, less than a month ago, she lost her papa. An emotion reappears on this distressed, hobbled man. "You remind me of him," she says. His tears appear in her face. She asks him where he's going. "To church," he replies. "It's on the other side of the forest." Again, she insists, "I'll walk with you. Let's cross the stream." Off they go to see the Lord. She comments, "You know, talking to you is like that conversation I wanted to have with my grandfather, but never got the chance." She escorted him to the church where he could pray, dry off. On the way to her car, thoughts of her grandpa filled her head. He was such a strong influence on her life. From teenager, guiding her through college, into and through successful career.
Wow, you read that so well, dear. That was very nice. Thank you. This poem, it tells a story that I think, and it's not a huge story, it's a small story, but it's the small stories that fill our lives and suggest that there's a transference of emotion from someone very close to us who we loved for a variety of reasons to someone who reminds us of that individual who has since passed. And it tells such a tender, warm-hearted story, and there's a payoff for both the old man for the help she gives him about the age of his great-granddaughter, and he reminding her of her grandfather who she never got the chance to talk to. It's I think really well done, one of Doc Frank's finest, I think. Thank you for that poem, Doc. And Pamela, please.
I really think this is a beautiful and touching story. I think it's really, honestly, a perfect write for, you know, on the idea of kindness and how you can make a difference in one people's lives and how there's no such thing as coincidence. I really like how these two people come across each other and they both fulfill a need that the other one has and becomes such an important factor in each other's lives. Just really a wonderful write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, this would have fit in so well with the kindness show of last Tuesday. This is just a heartfelt write here. But also his writing, and when you look to it, he has amazing imagery here, powerful words, like rain, the description of the man in the first stanza, and then the nature, you know, the storm in the second stanza. And the way his dialogue is written also is realistic. And, yeah, I thought this was an amazing write all through. So, bravo, Doc Frank.
Bravo, indeed. Nice comment, huh? All right, Jean, back to you. Are you on mute, Jean?
Yes, without you. First time? That is not too bad.
That's right. First time.
No, Naomi, just so you know, this was part of last Tuesday's contest.
It was
one of the carryovers. Yes, yes. Yeah, I thought it was a great entry.
Okay.
It was a great touching record. Enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have, I don't know, we have quite a few carryovers from that show, you know, can I say.
Okay, yeah.
But it was a great show. I'll take all those carryovers. Okay, so Laurent, that brings me back to you. So if you would be so kind as to read this next piece, it's Fire Came to Rock by Laurent Yvonne. Imagine that. It's the same.
Well, yeah. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. Fire came to rock. I was old before I was born. And the world was still a song. Yet I never knew the words, even as the melody was my soul. Apostles' Day brought the voice, an instrument of transcendence, clad in the red and green fire of desirous fantasy. Her bosom was an ocean to leap in, to gamble and surge, wild and darting, riding the swell of its heave, bursting through tumbled crests, reborn. Unabashed, her fire came to rock, cleaving to me in the heat of astral passion. We were forged as one spirit, words revealed, the song complete. We died in order to live, tasting sequences of pleasure and knowledge, as our hands traced each other's fragile eternity, mirror images of now, repeating endlessly. End poem.
Great read, Laurent. Pam, do you want to start us off?
Oh, absolutely. I thought this had wonderful imagery and metaphors throughout. It was beautiful. It was passionate. I really like how you start out with, I was old before I was born and the world was still a song. To me, that just, you know, there are so many people who they're just old souls, old spirits, no matter their age. And I really like where, and the world was still a song, you know, to me means that there's just so much out there to be discovered. I like how this goes into that sensual connection, but also that emotional and spiritual connection. Her bosom was an ocean to leap in, to gamble and surge wild and darting, rising the swell of its heave. And we died in order to live, tasting the sequence of pleasure and knowledge as our hands traced each other's fragile eternity. I like the word phrase fragile eternity because it reminds me of how fragile and delicate life is, and how if you're going to live and you're going to love, you should, you know, do it to the fullest of your abilities, and just really dive in to the unabashed, you know, and be the fire and the rock, the spark, you know, become that spark for each other. Just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Nice comment, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was a very passionate and powerful rite. And it has a, I felt sensuality throughout it also. I loved your reference to the apostles and that you say you're clad in a red and green light, a red and green fire of desirous fantasy. So red and green is like stop and go there, you know. And then to end it with, we died in order to live sequences of pleasure and the knowledge in our hands trace the each other's fragile eternity, mirror image of now, repeating endlessly. Wow, that's a very well-written stanza right there. The words in it, wow. So this is an amazing piece, Laurent, all through.
No, thank you so much, Naomi.
Nice comment, Naomi. I think this is beautiful, Laurent. And that's all I wrote when I read it. I didn't really know where to begin. There's so many wonderful lines and phrases throughout this entire piece. Wonderful metaphors, beautiful imagery. And it is, it's a very passionate rite. And I think that it just, wow, I don't know. It's just wonderful. It really is. So congratulations on that rite. That was a good one for the week. Actually, I had a bunch of them for the week, but that's the top notch for me. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Let me see. Oh.
I have to go.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let me grab you next then, and we'll do that. Because I was coming down the line and going to hit people that were on the line. So hang on a second. Let me go back over and grab your piece. And here we go. Okay, Naomi, here we go. It's up, and I bet you it sounds like Captain B, too. I'm only kidding. Here it goes.
I have a SoundCloud.
Different kinds of beautiful love. I bought you another dolphin at the trinket store. It was the brightest in the store, like a star rising from the water. You put it in your wardrobe with the others. You put it in your closet. You bought me a unicorn in the souvenir section. She was the most elegant. It was like as if she wanted to come and tell me that if together the Norwells and the horses made unicorns by mating, you could always make something beautiful with different kinds of love. I put it in my wardrobe with the others. I put it in my closet. But what you hide one day overflows by dint of filling up the closet. And at the end, dolphins and unicorns coming out from those closets will dance hand in hand all around the rainbow, making something beautiful with different kinds of love.
Oh, my Lord. What a gorgeous piece. Naomi, could you read your AN, please?
Yeah, it's a poem for homosexuality acceptance for my daughter and her girlfriend who just gave birth to my beautiful granddaughter. Her name is Allie. She's now just 3 months old. I use dolphins and unicorns as metaphors for homosexuality because they are seen as being such happy, gay creatures.
Well, that really, I thought it was an entrancing poem until I read the AN and then I saw the deeper meaning. And I thought the use of the dolphins and the unicorns was excellent because it stands by itself in the poem without reading your AN. But once you do, it makes even more sense based on your descriptions. A lovely work. Absolutely. It is a poem of acceptance. And I'm glad you're able to make that step, take that step and accept because, you know, family is family and daughters are daughters. We live in a different age. Pam, please.
Yeah, I thought this was a beautiful, heartfelt write on love and acceptance. And I have to agree that it stands on its own, but it's even stronger when you read the AN. And, you know, you can always tell when Naomi says something in the late night poets room or when you hear her say something on a show, how much she just adores her children and her grandchildren and that they bring that kind of light into her life. And I like how this is about two people giving to each other. And it's beautiful all the way through, but I really particularly like where it says you could always make something beautiful with different kinds of love. That is just a wonderful line and a very well done right.
And you see in the picture that's my daughter and
that is a
that's
beautiful picture.
Her girlfriend that's pregnant in black and see they have her hands around her pregnant belly there. And that's my daughter, Kim, that you see, and her girlfriend, Caroline.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I was reading one of your other poems where you mentioned that you have a daughter named Pam and a daughter named Kim. And the funny thing my sister's name is actually Kim.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I think you two are related.
And Jean, please.
Well, Naomi, I think this was a wonderful poem. I loved how you took the narwhals and the horses and the unicorns and the dolphins, and I think that you basically really did. You came up with alternatives and put them out there for everyone to appreciate. And I think that it softened it very much in other people's palates. To me, I say everybody deserves to be who they are. But it was beautifully done. If I remember correctly, that was that beautiful grandbaby you showed me, correct?
I had a pile last year and this year. Like I just had two girls born, and I had a boy too, a boyfriend's boy that was born too, and I have my two other granddaughters, so I have three granddaughters, but we had three babies, like, in the past the year. So, pile of babies.
I remember not that long ago you had a picture of a baby up in the room.
Yeah.
Beautiful. But, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful poem. And I think, you know, you did it very nicely. So, great job there.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Now, we'll put the next one up. I'm going to read this. This is by Marvin Goldfarb. Smile and You Won't Feel Blue by Marvin Goldfield. You're a lucky gal or feller if you let your smile be your umbrella. It can rain and it can pour. Perhaps you can't take it anymore, but you're a lucky fella. You're alive and you sing a cappella. You so smile all the while. Yes, smile, smile, smile. And you won't feel blue. End poem.
Yeah. Nice read, Gene. And isn't that what our parents always told us, or our grandparents always told us? Put a smile on that face and you'll feel better. And it's the truth, you know. If you smile, somehow it works. You know, you just got to be happier regardless. Naomi, please.
Yeah, I always like Marvin's little, he always writes short, little, sometimes they're only one lines, but they're always, they always have a twist at the end of them. And yes, smile, 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 you won't feel blue. And just a joyful little piece.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Naomi. And Mrs. Pam.
Oh, I thought this was a delightful and fun brevity on the importance of a smile. And what I like is that it very much reminded me of the musical or the song Singing in the Rain. Really smile-inducing and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, back to you.
Okay. Well, a clever piece, Marvin, and thank you for sharing with us. A cheerful little piece, and I liked it. Ms. Pam, can I get you to read the next one for us?
Absolutely.
Thanks.
This is How Do You Do by J.H.E., and it goes like this. I picked this flower for a friend, but I'd be happy to pretend it was for you. Except that soon I'll be indoors, which is no place for wings like yours. So what'll we do is look for grassy gardens where more daisies live and you can share those flowers too. With other ladybugs and bees, beneath the shade of birdsong trees and endless blue. Oh, look, what do you think of that? You like it? Great. Thanks for the chat. And off she flew. End poem.
Yeah. Great read, Pam. I think the word charming was invented for exactly a poem like this. It is absolutely charming. It's bunny hugs and warm kisses and sniffling noses from puppies. And just a wonderful interpretation of the picture. I mean, if you don't look closely, you never see the little bug. Once you do, it is, wow, just charming. And Naomi, please.
I love the stanza with other ladybugs and bees beneath the shade of birdsong trees and endless blue. Yeah, this is a little cheery piece, you know, that puts a smile on your face. It's so well written all through, and so well done. So I just love this little piece.
Thank you, Naomi. Did this have you smiling while you were reading, Pam?
Oh, most definitely. This is a delightful write. It has almost a childlike innocence to it, and really wonderful rhyme and flow, especially how the, doing a rhyme in three lines, I think is a bit of a challenge. And I like how there's that the same line rhyme at the end, the third line of each stanza, and I like how this has that little bit of humor in it, you know, that whole idea where it says, you know, I'd be happy to take you indoors, except for obviously it's just not made for wings like yours. Wonderful right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean Marie.
Well, I love this piece. I like the image that he wrote to, and I love the piece itself. I agree with you 100%, Laurent. Charming is a perfect word. I felt that this was written with a smile in each line. You know, It just was sweet and it was wonderful. So thank you, JHE, for writing for the contest. I really enjoyed this one. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to find the room. There it is. I found the room. Okay, Naomi, you up for one more?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Here we go.
The Sprinkles That Picked Up a Soul by Mac Jameson. Sprinkle your world with kindness. Sprinkle your world with glee. Radiate your warm persona and individuality. Show joyous love to fellow beings. Let your soul help drive them on. Reignite their flickering candle and let hope be never gone. We've all been broken from time to time. So pick people up when they're lost. Take to the homeless sitting in the cold as they're of far more gain than cost. Share a smile and share a joke and grow happy in your own as life is a trial with tribulations. But you only reap what you put in.
Nice read, Naomi. And this follows very well the last poem that we heard. You know, the Sprinkles That Picked Up a Soul. It really speaks to the heart, to the warmth that exists somewhere in all of us. All you have to do is bring it out of yourself and bring it out in others. I love the lines, reignite the flickering candle and let hope be never gone. You know, we've been broken, so you help somebody else who's in the same situation. Very, very nice. Okay. And Pam, please.
Yeah, this is definitely a lovely and heartfelt write. I like how it's about reaching out to your fellow human beings. I do like that line, reignite their flickering candle and let hope be never gone. I also like where it says share a smile and share a joke and go happy in your own skin. I like the idea of, you know, that when you reach out with those small acts of kindness, they can make a big difference, not only to the people that you're showing the kindness to, but in how you start to feel about yourself. So wonderful, mm-hmm. Right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And back to Jean.
Great piece. Great piece, Matt. Yeah, I have to agree with everybody. It's just a wonderful piece. And it's about reminding you that something small can really change someone's world. So excellent work. Laurent, that brings me back to you. We might be able to squeak in just one more.
Once we are into the breach.
I didn't hear.
Okay. By David Meyerhoff, it's called The Hidden World. A helping hand, alms to the needy, public service, care for neighbor, all drive the web of kindness that ensnares the public into the common good. Often overlooked is the secret world of our eternal thoughts and how we treat ourselves. Do we beat ourselves up and berate the very person we are trying to support? Not to improve, but to punish. Charity begins at home, as they say. The way towards a fellow man is through the bosom of our own selves. End poem. And may I just say that the key to that for me is that last stanza. It's through the bosom of our own selves. It wraps up everything else that he said so neatly. Ah, we've got some great poets on this site, I'll tell you right now. Mm-hmm. All right, Pam, can I get your comment, please?
Absolutely. I have to agree. We do have some amazing poets on this site. And I like how this write is about, it's important to be kind to everyone else, but you also have to remember to be kind to yourself. Mm-hmm. I really like that mm-hmm. second stanza. all drive the web of kindness and snares the public into a common good. You know, it's that connection that drives humanity to be better. And I do like that where he's in that in line. The way forward, our fellow man, is through the bosom of our own selves. You know, in order to improve the world, in order to love the world, we first have to improve the world and or improve ourselves and love ourselves. So excellent write. Very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Naomi, please.
Naomi dropped.
All right. Then Eugene.
Well, David, I think you did an excellent job with this piece. And I have to agree with Pam, you know, you have to learn to love yourself and be kind to yourself. And I think that really shined through in this piece. Just well written, well expressed, fabulous job, and thank you for sharing with us all. Beautiful. Now, Lalette, did you comment first on that one?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so it's back to me where I'm getting. No, I got time for another one. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I say go for it.
Me too. I say go for it too. Pam didn't answer me though, but it's okay. I know she's with me in spirit.
Yes, I'm here.
There you go, Pam. So kind.
All right. This is When We Unite Again by Samir Amin, and it goes like this. When we unite again, our thirsty hearts will answer the call of the land of healing, the land of healing where our wounds are united. From our united wounds, the essence of healing will emanate, the essence of healing, which is rooted in each other's feelings of each other's pain. When we unite again, our thirsty hearts will answer the call of the land of life, the land of life where our lifeless hearts are united. For our united lifeless hearts, the essence of life will emanate, the essence of life which resides between the cracks of two lifeless hearts when they hug each other passionately. And in the middle of their passionate hug, the light of life will be produced. When we unite again, our thirsty hearts will answer the call of the land of beauty. From our united hearts, the essence of beauty will emanate, the essence of beauty which entails the acceptance of each other's shortcoming. And from the concept of accepting each other's shortcoming, the unmatchable beauty will be produced. When we unite again, our thirsty hearts will answer the call of the land of happiness. From our united hearts, the essence of happiness will emanate, the essence of happiness which works its miracles when our eyes overflow with the tears of empathy, the tears of empathy that wipe off the sadness from the face of our sad old dwellings and our depressed narrow lanes. When the raindrops of the winter of our united hearts pour our tears upon the deserted roads of our lost descent memories and poem.
Wow. Great read, Pam.
Pam, yeah, very nice read. Wow, this poem, I don't say it can be diluted down to one line, but if you take that line, from our united hearts, the essence of happiness will emanate. When two hearts are united, there's a very strong implication, of course, that everything is shared. Because when you share your heart, you share your total self, you share your soul. And when you have someone to share life's travails with, the joys and the sadness, the triumphs and the losses, it makes life so much easier. And the very aspect of love gives birth to life in so many ways, deep down in our spirits. A very nice piece that we have here. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this kind of reminded me of the house that, is it the house that John built? I can't remember, but how one part stacks up on the other, but it has like a kind of a more deeper spiritual feel to it. And I do like how this shows how, you know, when two hearts connect, you you know, something truly beautiful can happen, and there's a sense of healing. So a wonderful rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Gina, we kick it back to you for the final comment.
Well, I think that this was really well done and beautifully written. It was another piece from our kindness contest. And I think there were a lot of really great thoughts throughout here. And I think it was very well expressed. And I think the emotions were well conveyed. So very, very nice work, Samir, and thanks for sharing with us. Yep. And I don't think we can squeeze any more in tonight, although we only have two carryovers. So great job, everybody. Thanks for sharing your time with us. Tonight, 12:30, we have Part Center, Part Saint with Ephesiana. And if anyone has a chance to listen in and give a call, sure she'd be delighted to hear from you. And we are off tomorrow night, are we not, Pam? Or am I confused?
Are you sure?
I don't know.
Because I know Gray just ran a pre-writes contest, and he usually does that like just the day before our show. Just saying.
Well, maybe.
But yeah,
you're
I guess we'll find out tomorrow.
That's our cliffhanger. Will there be a show tomorrow night at 10 o'clock? You know, you could be right. Maybe we were off last weekend. That could be very true. I think maybe I just kind of, I don't know, fell apart or something. So, yeah, we probably do have Gray at 10 o'clock, and we're off at 12:30. And then we have Rhythm and Rhyme with usually Pam. Do you know what Rex's topic is for Sunday, Pam?
Yes, he is running a contest featuring the music of, oh my goodness, I'm suddenly blanking out on her name. Let me get this. She is, where is that? Joanne Shaw Taylor, and I highly recommend checking her out. She plays a wonderful blues guitar and has a voice very similar to Janis Joplin. Just absolutely powerful music and emotive lyrics that I'm sure we are going to inspire.
Very cool. And then Monday morning at 12:30 a.m., we have the Hearts of L&P with Victoria Frost. So anyone who has got some free time this weekend, you know, please join in. And I'm going to put up a contest for, I don't know, shake your tail feathers or something for Wednesday next week. So feel free to check. I hope everybody has a wonderful night and a great weekend. And I hope you all have a great week next week. Take care, and we'll talk soon. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Laurent, for Pam, for coming in first thing and hanging out all night. I appreciate that. Thank you, Naomi. It was great to hear from you. Have a great night, and thank you for the audios, everybody. Night.
Night, all.